I'm going to show you right now who the Pharaoh was during the Exodus. And there's concrete evidence and proof, and the Bible is what gave us the evidence. You're going to be amazed by this. Also, we're looking at how the book of Revelation is revealed in Moses' story. So ready for this? Here we go. Watch this. So Exodus chapter 7, God says to this evil king, this Pharaoh, he says, "Let my people go so that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened up till now," God said to him. This is amazing. So this is the guy, Amenhotep II. This is what he looked like. This is an image of him. And the reason we know this is the guy, because beginning in 1453 BC, with an Exodus date of 1446 BC, derived, this is how we got it. It was derived from the 480 years from a temple construction date, that was Solomon's temple, of 967 BC. The Exodus was during his reign. Watch this. There's more proof. I'm going to show you right now. You're saying, "What? What do you mean?" Yes, 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 my friend. Here you go. Watch this. First Kings, right? First Kings chapter 6, and I'll put it on the full screen so you can see all of that scripture. It says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt," that's how we got that 480th year, "in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, he began to build the house of the Lord." What's the house of the Lord? Yes, it is the temple, the temple. And we know that this is the guy. And we're going to look in more detail. And this guy, Amenhotep II, he was a very Antichrist type, a picture and a portrait of the Antichrist. That's who he was. Just like Antiochus Epiphanes IV, he was just like the Antichrist as well. In fact, Daniel, when it speaks of him in much, much places, in chapter 9 and 11 and 12, but Jesus referenced a future date of this abomination of desolation, of this vile person, right? Jesus spoke of a future one of those. But this guy right here, he's also a type and a picture of the Antichrist, this Amenhotep II guy. Now watch this, there's more proof. This is a picture, a box actually from ancient Egypt, and this was owned by Amenhotep II. And it's like, it's this is a picture of him. And he's got these boils all over his body. Look at that. See those boils? And you know what his face looks like? He looks like a demon, like a beast, right? An animal or a beast, human-like and beast-like at the same time. Isn't that strange, isn't it? So here's an actual mummified, this is his body. They found it. They found his body in a tomb in Egypt. And look at this. The scholars discovered these strange boils. These growths all over, these cysts all over his body, much like the plague described in the book of Exodus, right? Amenhotep II, this is the Pharaoh of the Exodus, you guys. This is amazing stuff. So Exodus 7, God continues, "This is what the Lord says," Moses saying to him, "By this you shall know that I am the Lord." So God is bringing great judgments upon this Pharaoh, this evil king. "Behold, I am going to strike the water that is in the Nile with the staff that is in my hand, and it will be turned into blood." Yes, that's what happened, you guys. Look at this. The Nile turned to blood. And this was the wealth and the resource of the Egyptians. This is where they grew all their crops. And they worshiped the Nile River as well. Now remember that evil king, his father, Amenhotep II's father, Thutmose III, there's evidence that he was the guy and that he threw the Hebrew baby boys, had the Hebrew baby boys thrown into that river. And he was a Herod type, right? In this whole analogy and comparison of Moses and Christ. And we're seeing this. This is amazing that God put all this in here for us. So let's look at this next scripture in Exodus chapter 7. "Then the fish that are in the Nile will die. The Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will no longer be able to drink water from the Nile." Exactly what happened. Now, this is a satellite imagery of what it would have looked like, the Nile turning to blood. and they would flood their fields for the crops. They would flood them through these irrigation canals and channels. And this is probably what it looked like from space, you guys. Pretty amazing stuff, right? Here's an old painting of it. So the Nile was turned to blood. This was a judgment. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. That's what we're doing right here. We're comparing the book of Revelation and the story of Moses, how Moses is a picture and a type of Jesus Christ coming back now, his return, and all these judgments that come right up to it that we see in the book of Revelation. So Revelation 8, a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Wow. The comparison is amazing, is it not? So Revelation 16 also talks about the second angel poured out his bowl, the bowl judgment, right, into the sea. And it became blood like that of a dead man, like blood like a dead man. This is rotten, stinky blood. And everything in the sea died. Oh my goodness. There must have been a stink in Egypt that was so awful. Then the third, and there's going to be a stink in the world that's going to be so awful, but there was a stink in Egypt that was just horrendous, I'm sure. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers, and the springs of waters, they became blood. So even the springs of water became blood. So here's an overview picture of Egypt and a satellite image of Egypt. So this is the area of Goshen. Remember, this is where Joseph gave the Israel the land, his father and his brothers, all this land right here. And this is the best of the land of Egypt, as Pharaoh said. But this new Pharaoh, the one before that tried to kill baby Moses and all the other baby boys in the region, the Hebrew baby boys, he didn't know Joseph. Right? And Joseph was a picture and a type of Christ. So he didn't know him. He didn't care about what he did or anything. But this Nile River was their lifeline. You could see that even today, it's green. This is lush. This is where they grow crops. Egyptian cotton is grown here. There's grain that's grown here. All this food, right? So that's what we're seeing here. And then where was Moses? Remember, he was down here at Midian. And he came back to Egypt. God called him back after he had his Gentile bride with him. And he comes back to save Israel. So there's a picture of Jesus in all of this, right? So then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Now we're in Exodus 8. Let my people go so that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, what's going to happen? Behold, I'm going to strike your entire territory with frogs. Frogs, you might be saying? Yes, frogs. They were one of the gods. They had many, many gods, right? They were polytheists, means they had many, many gods, right? And this is one of their great gods, was just a frog. And so this is an actual frog from ancient Egypt, a little bronze statue of a frog there, and they worship these. So God's going to give them exactly what they want. And that's what God does, you guys. I believe that someday there'll come a moment in time in history, one moment in time, where God's going to say, I'm going to give everyone exactly what they want at one moment in time, right? And what is he going to do? He's going to give those who want a world without God, without the church, without Israel, without God's people, he's going to give them exactly what they want. They're going to rule the world without the church and without God's hand in his people, right? And then those who want to be with Jesus, the Messiah, his son, God's son, guess what? They're going to be with him. And I believe it'll be a rapture. You'll be caught up to be with him in the air, just like 2 Thessalonians tells us. First and Second Thessalonians, you could read all about. There's a in there you could see the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist. He's coming. Then you could see that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air and meet those who died before us that were in Christ. That's the rapture. It's harpazo in Greek, which just means caught up. Like we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in his new beautiful city that he's been preparing for you and me if you're a Christian. So watch this. So we're going back to this. So God gives everyone exactly what they want. So here in Exodus, they worship this frog. God's going to give them the frog. That's what God does. So here's one of their gods right here. That's a frog. It looks like a woman too. And right here, you can see more of these ancient artifacts from ancient Egypt that they worship the frog. So in Revelation, what does it say? It says, "And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon," this is Revelation chapter 16, "and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." So this is like the triune evil antichrist and his false prophet and the devil himself, Satan. "And then what came out of their mouth? Three unclean spirits like frogs." Like frogs, you guys. You can't make this stuff up. This is God put all of this in there for us to see in Moses' story ahead of time. "For they are spirits of demons performing signs." So today people are really into demonic stuff and witchcraft and all that stuff. Well, God's going to give you exactly what you want at one moment in time if he comes back. So you don't want that, because then you're going to end up going where you know Satan and his false prophet are going, which is hell. I don't want that for anybody. So Revelation, God doesn't want that for anybody. So Revelation 16 says this, "Which go out to the kings of the entire world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty," because God's going to protect Israel in the end. It's in the book of Revelation. So Exodus 9 says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from the kiln, and Moses shall toss it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh." Why is he doing this? It's another judgment from God. "Then it will become like fine dust over all the land of Egypt and will turn into boils." Boils. Yeah, boils. Look at this. "Breaking out with sores on every person and animal throughout all the land of Egypt." Oh my. Remember we saw this earlier? This is the actual mummy of Amenhotep II, and he has these boils all over his skin. I think God preserved his mummy so that we can see that today. We can see that this is proof that this was the guy. And here's his special box that he had made for himself. And you could see this demonic looking creature with boils all over it as well. Whoa. So Revelation 16, what does it say here? We're comparing Moses and Christ and Christ's return, right? The book of Revelation. "So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and a harmful and painful sore afflicted the people." Same thing, you guys, in the book of Revelation. Who? What people, right? "The people who had the mark of the beast and who worshiped his image." Those people. God gives everyone what they want. It's sad, but it's true. He doesn't want to do this to them, but they did it anyway. They want that. They reject him. So then Exodus 9 says this in Moses' story, "Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews says, let my people go so that they may serve me or worship me," some translations say, which is about the same thing. And then it says, "For this time I am going to send all my plagues on you," or judgments, right? "On you and your servants and your people." Uh-oh. "So that you may know that there is no one like me in all of the earth." This is why God's doing that, because he could have wiped this Pharaoh out a long time ago, but he's doing it to show the world who the true God is, and that's him, Yahweh, the God of Isaac, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You guys, watch this. "I have allowed you to remain in order to show you my power, in order to proclaim my name throughout the earth." Whoa, this is why he's doing it. "Still, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go." Whose people in this case? Israel, you guys, Israel. So this is a picture of the future. It's going to be the same thing in the book of Revelation. The world is going to be holding Israel hostage, or that beast will, which is like that Pharaoh, right? That antichrist character. It also says this, but God said, "Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will send a very heavy hail." Oh my. So this is an actual hailstone right here, about the size of a grapefruit. And these things are lethal. They will destroy and kill. They come in at hundreds of miles an hour, and they destroy anything in their path. And God says, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. So there's never been a hailstorm like this until now, God says. So now send word, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. So if you believe God, you're going to bring your livestock and your people in under shelter for safety. If you don't believe God, you just think, yeah, whatever. Well, there's going to be consequences. And here it is. Every person and animal that is found in the field and is not brought home, then the hail comes down on them and they will die. God tells them, he's given them a warning in this, actually. So he's being merciful. So I want to show you a little bit of history here. So this happened in India. This is something that actually happened in Rostov, India in 1939. 23 people and even more cattle were killed by hailstones weighing up to 2 pounds each, and it fell on a 30 square mile area. Whoa. So this has actually happened. So Exodus 9 continues. So Moses reached out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire. This is so much like the great tribulation period that we see in the book of Revelation, is it not? So there was hail and fire flashing intermittently in the midst of the hail, which was very heavy. Oh boy. So Exodus 9, here it is, right? Look at this. Only in the land of Goshen, right about here where the people of Israel were, where the sons of Israel were, was not there. Was there no hail? There was no hail on God's people. Isn't that amazing, you guys? God's protecting his people. In fact, in the book of Revelation, God says about these judgments, and one of them, he says that don't harm those who have the seal of God on their foreheads. Who are they? The 144,000. That's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Some people don't like this, but it's true. And if you're a Christian who says that's spiritual, the church is spiritual Israel, then tell me what tribe you're in. God broke it down by tribe. You'd have to tell me what tribe you're in. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you'd have to tell me what tribe you're in also. That's not it. These are actual Jewish people, the nation of Israel, you guys. And this is what God writes down. This is what he said. So let's go to Revelation. There was hail mixed with fire, and fire mixed with blood, excuse me, and it was hurled to the earth. We're seeing the same thing in the book of Revelation, right? And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. This is not fun, you guys. I don't even like reading this to you. It's a hellacious time on earth. It's awful, and I hope none of my loved ones or my friends are going to be here for that. But how do you not be here for that? You give your life to Jesus Christ. You do it today. You do it this moment. At the end of this episode, I am going to lead you. It's a prayer from you to God to give your life to Jesus and to be saved. So if he comes back at any moment, which he could at any moment, you will be caught up to be with the Lord and you will be protected because you are the bride of Christ. Just like Moses had his bride with him, safe with him during all of these judgments, right? And then Israel was protected too. But you don't want to have to go through hell on earth, which is what the great tribulation period is. And you don't have to because you can give your life to Jesus. You'll have that opportunity, I promise you. All right, well, let's get back into this presentation. So Revelation 16 says, and huge hailstones weighing about a talent each came down from heaven upon people. That's about 100 pounds. Whoa. Remember the other ones that were in India that killed people? They were about 2 pounds each. These are 100-pound hailstones, you guys. You don't want to be on earth for this. This is a horrible time. And why is God allowing all these horrible things to happen? He's trying to get them to repent, to turn to him, to be saved, to save their souls so that he could be with them. They could be with him forever and ever and have life and not death and not hell. Because God didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared hell for Satan and his minions. Right? Not for you or me. That's why Jesus came. It was a great rescue mission to save you and me, you guys. So here it is. Huge hailstones weighing about 100 pounds in the book of Revelation. This is future. So let's move on to Exodus 10. This is another judgment. that God does through Moses on the land of Egypt, which is a type of the world, by the way. Let my people go so that they may serve me, he tells this Antichrist type king, this Pharaoh, this evil Pharaoh. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts onto your territory and they will cover the surface of the land. This is what a locust looks like. Can you imagine if they were really big? But there were so many of these that it was destroying Egypt. It was destroying their crops, which was their food. They didn't have grocery stores back then and worldwide trade. This was their source of life, their food. Here's an old painting of this plague that's coming down. And this is a picture of locusts just covering the land where it's just littered with them like peppers. Just they're everywhere, right? So then in Revelation 9, what happens? He opened, an angel, right? Opened the shaft of the abyss and smoke ascended out of the shaft like smoke of a great furnace. So it's like black smoke. And the earth was probably getting really dark at this time. And then Revelation 9 continues. And out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth and power was given to them. What power? This power right here, you guys. As the scorpions of the earth have power, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth. So they have power like a scorpion, but they're big, you guys. They're not to hurt any green thing or any tree, but only the people who not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Only those who are not given their life to Jesus. That's who these evil demonic creatures that look like locusts are going to harm in the book of Revelation. This is future, you guys. So Moses' story is showing us a picture of it, a type of it. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment them for 5 months. Can you imagine that? 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a person. Oh, this is horrible, you guys. You don't want to be there for this. So the book of Revelation describes these as big, like human size, I believe, with wings. They fly, and they're a demonic creature with a stinger like a scorpion, and they can just go around tormenting people on earth. Now, why would God allow that? He would allow that to drive people to him to repent, because some of them will. Many of them won't. They'll refuse to repent and turn to God, but some of them will. And that's why he's doing it, to save them. He's looking at the forever and ever. And you should too. Where will you be in eternity? That's a good question to ask. And why would you worry about someone who can kill this body and then lose your soul, you know, or gain life here on earth and lose your soul? I would rather lose my life here on earth and save my soul, have my soul saved by God. That's more important, you guys. All right, let's continue on in this. So then Exodus 10, we're looking at another one. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out with your hand toward the sky so that there may be darkness. Now we're looking at a judgment of darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. There was thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another. I've heard people describe super, super darkness, like you can't even see your hand from your face, and it's like you can feel it. I remember going steelhead fishing down in the San Lorenzo Gorge when I lived in Santa Cruz one night, and it was so dark. There was no moonlight that night, and the tree cover from the big redwood trees, it was so dark that literally I couldn't see my hand in front of me, and it does feel like you're wearing it, like you could feel the darkness. That's how scary this was, you guys. This is what it was in Egypt, which is a foreshadowing of the book of Revelation, right? So there was a thick darkness in all of the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another. That's what it was like. Pretty scary stuff, right? Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. That's how dark it was. They would just sit right where they were. And by the way, when I was in the Army Rangers, when we were in the jungle, it was like triple canopy of vegetation and trees above you. So at night, it was so dark, you literally could not see your hand in front of your face. And we just dropped down where we were, wherever we were in the jungle, you would just drop down right there. And that's where you would rest as soon as it got dark. Now, what we did was we took a mosquito net and wrapped ourselves in it, you know, and you would still wake up in the morning. There was ant trails going across your body. Oh, man, it was tough. It was the jungle expert jungle training center down in Fort Sherman, Panama. Yeah, it was a tough school. But here we are, we're seeing this darkness in the land of Egypt, Exodus 10. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. So God shined light in the land of Goshen where the Israelis were, his Hebrew people. There was light there. God was protecting them through this horrible time. And in Revelation, we see this. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl, right? It's a bowl judgment. On the throne of the beast and on his kingdom, and his kingdom became darkened. Wow. Does that not remind you, right, of this Pharaoh? It is a type of the Antichrist, a type of that beast. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven. They did not repent. They just blasphemed him. They cursed him. That's what that means. They cursed God. This is a horrible thing, and God's trying to save him. He's trying to give him a chance to live. And then here it says, because of their pain and because of their sores, they did not repent of their deeds. Wow. It's a horrible time right now on this earth. This is what the great tribulation will be like. But those who are followers and believers of Jesus Christ, who are children of God, won't be here for that. We will be above the earth in that new city that's going to be hovering above the earth, I believe, before and while the 7-year tribulation period happens, and then it comes down and it plants right on Israel, the new Jerusalem, right in Jerusalem, and it's going to be Jesus's kingdom. We're going to return with them. This is amazing. And you could be there too. You can be there. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you should do it right now. This could be the greatest moment of your life, because the most important thing that human beings need is to be forgiven by God. That means your soul will live forever and ever in paradise with Jesus, and you'll even get a new body, the Bible says, that we'll have new bodies when this rapture occurs before this tribulation period. Some people believe it's in the middle. Some believe there's a post-tribulation when Jesus comes. There's a lot of controversy in the church about that. That don't worry about that. The main thing is that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been born again. You're a child of God. That's the most important thing. I don't care if you believe he's coming in the middle, but part of the reason I don't believe he's coming in the middle or at the end is because when that 7-year peace agreement is signed, as spoken of by Daniel, between this beast, the Antichrist, and the world and the Jewish people, you can count the days to when Jesus will touch down on the earth. So there has to be a rapture of his people first, and then those left behind will know the exact day. But they won't, like the first coming of these two, right? He's coming back. The rapture will be like his first coming to take his bride, the church, with him. Nobody knows the day or hour of that. And Jesus spoke about that much, because he was talking about the virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom. They didn't know the day or the hour, but they kept oil in their lamps and they were ready. And they went with him. But then those left behind were in this darkness. They had to go through this time of torment and this time of this great trial that comes upon the whole earth. And you don't want to be left behind, my friend. But you can give your life to Jesus right now and not be left behind. God wants to save you. God loves you. He loves you. I know you've sinned. I've sinned too. And I know you've done horrible things, but God can forgive you of all of them. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all of it. That's what the Bible says in 1 John. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever," that means anybody, "who would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Would you like to receive Jesus? If you would, you say this prayer right after me. You are praying to God from your heart. Just pray this prayer. Ready? Repeat after me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin and help me to turn from my sin. I believe that Jesus, that you came and you were born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that you died on the cross and that you shed your blood for me. I also believe that in 3 days you were raised from the dead and you are alive today. I choose to follow Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior from this day forward. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, my friend. If you did that, hey, all of heaven is rejoicing right now because of what you just did, because God loves you and you're now saved. You're now a child of God. I love you. God loves you. That's more important. Hey, so if you haven't hit this playlist right here, How to Find Jesus in the Old Testament, and you'll see where he's found in Joseph's story and in other parts of Genesis. We're going through all of it, you guys. So God bless you. Don't forget to click this playlist right here.